Welcome to the Loving Wellness Podcast, your compass to embracing a holistic approach to health, one that extends love not only to your body and spirit, but also ripples outward to those around you. I'm your host, Ava Nori, a registered dietitian and your wellness BFF. Together, we'll dive deep into all the ways you can practice loving wellness in your own life and tap into the healthiest, happiest, most aligned version of yourself through both solo episodes and conversations with experts in many fields. Let's get into the show. Hello, hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Loving Wellness Podcast. Happy February. I'm so excited for a new month, some fresh energy, but I'm even more excited to introduce today's guest to you all. We are covering a topic that is so important to our health, our well-being, our overall sense of wellness, and that is relationships, specifically romantic relationships and dating. And I feel like it gets very overlooked in wellness how important it is for someone to have healthy relationships in this sense. So today I am talking to Alana Dunn, the host of the Seeing Other People podcast, which is one of the top dating and relationships podcasts. Alana is a content creator. She hosts Seeing Other People, but she also has another podcast called Life in Progress. She is a millennial and Gen Z dating expert, and she's also a dating coach. And we get into so many amazing topics today that I think that whether you're in a relationship or not, you will take many things away from. The first half of the episode focuses more on dating, and then the second half is more focused on how to have and nurture healthy relationships once you're in one. And we talk about things like navigating the modern dating world and online dating and the apps. We talk about showing up authentically in our relationships, even friendships and other relationships, not just romantic partnerships. We talk about dating rules that should be broken and how to meet people in person if you don't want to use the apps, which is a really common thing that I hear. Alana gets vulnerable and shares about her toxic situationship that she learned so much from. We also talk about communication, how important it is to healthy relationships and how to actually communicate effectively in a relationship, but also how to have healthy arguments and disagree in a healthy and effective and productive way once you're in a relationship as well. We also talk about what to do when all your friends are in a relationship and you're not, and vice versa, and also what to do when you don't really love your friend's partner and who they're with or their relationship. So we really cover it all, and I loved this conversation so much. I think you will love Alana so much. Her energy is so vibrant and positive and just radiates, and she really knows what she's talking about. And she's talking not just based on her own experiences, but the experiences of so many other people that she interviews on her podcast and gets to talk to through what she does. So enjoy. I hope you all love this episode as much as I did. And let us know what you think over on Instagram. I'm at Ava Nori Wellness, and make sure to give Alana a follow as well. And make sure to give the show a 5-star rating and review if you haven't already. That really helps us grow and get this into the ears of as many people as possible. And with that being said, I am going to let you listen to the episode and stop talking. Enjoy it, and I'll talk to you all in next week's solo episode. I'm so excited. Thank you so much, Alana, for coming on to the Loving Wellness Podcast. I already gave you a bit of an intro in the beginning before our recording, but just like from your perspective, could you tell my audience a little bit more about who you are, what you do, how you got into the dating and relationship space?
How much time do we have? Yeah. So I am a podcast host. I host Seeing Other People and Life in Progress. I am a dating coach. I am a dog mom. I'm engaged. I'm a Jonas Brothers fan. I'm a lot of things. But I did not expect to end up in either the dating world or the content world or coaching or influencing at all. That was never anything I like set out to do. But the long story short of it was I was in a series of very terrible relationship situations. I had one really toxic relationship, and I was working in the music industry at the time. And I realized like that job, that field was not bringing me any joy. The guy that broke my life and broke my life, broke my heart and ruined my life, was also in the music industry and I was working with him. So I kind of decided I need to get as far away from this as possible. And I found this job at Hinge that they were hiring for where I would be able to use all of my skills that I was applying to music, which was social media, graphic design, video editing, all that, but apply it to dating. And I was like, wow, if I can do something with what I know and what I can do to help one single person out there not feel as miserably broken as I feel right now, this would be all worth it. And I got that job. I ended up running Hinge's social media for over 2 years. I created a ton of content for them. I started a podcast for them. And over time, I started becoming more vulnerable on social media and on their social media and really just opening up about not necessarily my specific dating experiences. I wasn't talking about what happened on one date last Tuesday, but I was talking about overall how dating was impacting me and how hard it was. And it just kind of took off and built on a life of its own of people really just wanting to hear from me and have me like facilitate these conversations to share what's really going on behind the scenes, because we're all struggling and it's really hard out there for all of us. So now here I am, 3 years of seeing other people and doing this full time, and it's a dream.
Amazing. And I love seeing other people. I love when you bring on anonymous people, especially. I think it's so cool to just hear, you know, quote unquote, normal people's experiences, because we don't normally get to hear that. We hear the influencer perspective and we hear people who are willing to put themselves out there on a daily basis. But it's really nice to get to hear also just like the everyday non-social media person's experiences too.
Exactly. I think that's really the heart of what I do, is those unfiltered episodes, because everybody right now who's single or even who's in a relationship, like everyone is struggling with something and everyone feels so alone in that struggle. And we're afraid or embarrassed or don't know how to talk about it to people because we feel like, well, they might not understand, or nobody else has been as heartbroken as I am now. So there's no one in the world who could possibly get what I'm going through. But at the end of the day, like one thing I've learned is that we've never been the first person to feel something, to go through something, to experience something. And we're all so much better off for sharing our experiences and reminding people like, hey, you're not alone. Or, hey, I went through this thing 5 years ago. Yes, it was really freaking hard and it challenged me so much. And there were days where I didn't want to get out of bed and I couldn't go to work, but I got through it. And here's what I learned. And here's how you can get through it.
It's so powerful. And you've mentioned a few times, like dating is so hard these days. I think it's just such a different landscape right now. And I personally, I'm in a relationship, have been in a relationship for almost 4 years. And I personally like met my boyfriend in person. But before we started dating, I did dabble in the apps, and all my friends are on the apps and single and dating, whether it's in New York or LA. And I just hear the craziest stories, but also it's just such a different world out there, and our parents can't help us with it because they didn't go through it, and it's also new. So do you have any advice on how to navigate this crazy online dating world that we're living in?
Yeah, I think the best thing that you can do when navigating modern dating and online dating, if you're starting out for the first time, if you are already 5 years into it and you still haven't found what you're looking for, don't overcomplicate it. It's so hard right now with social media and every influencer, every dating expert, everyone has their own set of rules that you need to follow, or you have to do this thing, otherwise you're going to be alone forever. Or God forbid you say this thing on a date, like it's never going to work out. But those people aren't you. They haven't had the same experiences, the same heartbreak, the same life challenges that you've had. So the way they date is absolutely going to be different than the way you date. And I'm not saying ignore everything you hear. First of all, that's impossible. And second of all, you're going to be tempted to try things, but that's exactly what you should do. Try things, figure out what works for you. And I think, remember at the end of the day, like it's not that deep. We don't need to overthink everything for hours. We don't need to try and form the most perfect, equally witty and sarcastic, but adorable text to send. Like all you have to do is like get the point across and talk to the people that you're dating the way you talk to your friends. Like do not overcomplicate it. It shouldn't be that hard.
Completely agree. And when you start to put up those kind of fronts and act inauthentically, you're only going to attract the wrong person and make it harder for yourself in the long run. So to that point, like, I think it is really hard for people to be authentic, not just in romantic relationships and dating, but just in their friendships and in life. Like, it's so hard these days because, especially with social media, we're all kind of putting up a front in one way or the other online. So how do you kind of like go about this? How do you show up as your most authentic self on dates? Like you said, you show up as the way you would show up with a friend, but do you have any other suggestions or tips on like how to break that barrier when you're on a date with someone and there's all these rules that you shouldn't be doing that?
Yeah, I think first of all, make sure you're in a good mood or like the right mood when you're going into a date. You don't want to be going into a date at the end of the most stressful work day where you're squeezing it in, you're not looking forward to it, or you are just like so burned out from going on so many dates that you're like, oh, like another date, it's going to fail. Like if that's the mindset you're going into it with, you shouldn't be going on this date, at least not now. You can push it back. You can reschedule. Do it in enough time in advance that it's respectful to do. But I think I used to love getting ready. Like I love getting ready. I'll either put on a show that I'm watching or blast music and like dance around my room while I'm getting ready. And that just like sets me up to be like, okay, you know what? Like anything is possible tonight. I'm me. And they're either going to like think that I'm really freaking weird because I am, or they're going to think, wow, she's so weird in the best way. And I want to get to know her more. So I think that's the first step, is going into it with the right mindset. And the second step is, again, it goes back to like, it's not that deep and don't overthink it. You're not there to interview somebody for the role of husband or wife or life partner. You're there to decide, do I want to see this person again? Yeah. That's it. Like, we can second guess everything that we said. We can dissect everything that they said and how it ended and who paid and make all these assumptions. But all you should be asking after a first date is, did I have a good time? Do I want to see this person again? That's it.
It's not that deep. It's not that deep. And like I said, there are so many rules, and you kind of alluded to this too. So like, what are some of your least favorite rules and rules that like should be broken, I guess?
All of them. Every dating rule should be broken. So a bunch of rules I'll say that I broke actually when I met my now fiance, who I'm marrying this June. We're very excited. Yay. Number one rule that I hate is like they have to confirm the date by like 11 a.m. or 12 p.m. that day, or you've made other plans. Like, I'm sorry. We are all busy and your time is not more important than their time. And so it was like 5 o'clock the day of our first date, and we had like planned it a few days before and I hadn't heard from him that day. And I was texting a group chat of a few other friends who like work in the dating space and are pretty well known. And they were both like, oh, like you're getting stood up. Like this date's not happening. I'm like, why can't I just text him and like confirm and ask if we're still on? Like maybe he just had a busy day. And they're like, oh my God, you cannot do that. That's so embarrassing. Like if you go on this date, first of all, you're getting stood up. He's not showing up. And second of all, if you text him, like that is so embarrassing and desperate. I'm like, no, I don't know. I'm going to text him. So I texted him and I said, hey, like, are we still on for tonight? And he said, hey, sorry, crazy day at work, was about to text you. Like, yeah, we have a reservation under my name. Can't wait. Thank God I didn't listen to them.
Yeah.
Because maybe I never would have met the person I'm supposed to be with for the rest of my life.
Oh my gosh.
Number two date. This is number two rule. This is not in order. I equally hate all of these rules. But like the fact that people are encouraging women to not follow up after the date, not text somebody and say thank you, I think is so unacceptable. First of all, there's nothing wrong with saying thank you. You should say thank you. I have a lot of guys that I've spoken to, listeners, guy friends, I have two older brothers, they've all said if a girl doesn't text them thanking them after the date, even if they thank them on the date, like they take note of that. They recognize that and they're like, that's not the best sign that like they're not showing that they're appreciative. So definitely if you had a great time and you want to thank them, don't hold back. Like you sending that thank you text is not going to be the difference between them wanting to see you again and them not.
Right. And if anything, it'll show them that you're interested in seeing them again and it'll give them the go to ask you on another date.
Exactly. And if they weren't going to ask you on another date, It has nothing to do with the text.
Right. It has everything to do with the date. Exactly.
Or the fact that they just don't find you compatible. And they went on the date and said, like, okay, like, I had fun, but I don't want to see this person again. And so even sending that text and starting that conversation, maybe you're actually preventing yourself from getting ghosted, because they can say, like, yeah, I had a great time too. I'm not feeling that connection.
Exactly. And how does someone, I know a lot of my friends, when they get that text of like, I had a great time, but I'm sorry, like, I just don't want to do this again, it's not going to work out, people get offended. And I get it, but how can we start to not take that so personally? Because it isn't that personal. It's just a compatibility issue, in my opinion. And people are getting way too caught up in what's wrong with me. What did I do? So do you have any words of wisdom on that?
Absolutely. And I had got more anti-ghosting text rejection texts than I could count. But we have to remember, like, take a step back. Like, yes, it hurts and it's allowed to sting. That is valid. You are getting rejected. You're allowed to feel that. But at the same time, think about when you send that text to somebody after a date, when you send that, hey, I had a great time, but I don't feel a connection. You're not sitting there thinking of all of these things that's wrong with that person, or that they're not worthy of love, or that they're not dateable and they'll never find their person. You're not thinking any of those things. You're just thinking like, yeah, it was fine. We're just like not a fit, or like, yeah, you know, it was a boring date. Like, we're just not a match. That's it. But when we get those texts, we immediately spiral and say, wow, like, I'm never going to find my person. I'm not worthy of love. There's so many things wrong with me. Like, why does this person hate me? Why me? Boo hoo. Wow. I'm going to go cry about it. And I felt that way so many times. And I questioned what's wrong with me so many times. There was nothing wrong with me. And there's nothing wrong with the people that you're sending this text to either. So just try and remember, when you're on the other side of it, it's not that deep. So don't let yourself spiral and start questioning who you are, because if there is something that that person doesn't like about you, that's not necessarily something you want to know or should be changing, because the right person for you is going to admire and appreciate those things. So it's okay if it's not a fit. You're not meant for everyone and not everyone's meant for you, and that's okay.
100%. And that's such a good reminder. And I wanted to ask you also about, you know, I know the apps are the main mode of meeting people these days, but I also know so many people who are just really anti-app. And I get it. They don't want to do the profile. They don't want to do the whole thing, the chatting back and forth, taking it off the app. I mean, there's so many things. If someone's adamantly against dating apps, like, do you have any advice on where to go meet people in person, or what to do if you're trying to stay off of the apps?
I would say don't write the apps off entirely. I think it's completely fine to not put all of your eggs in the app basket. In fact, you shouldn't. But I would still, like, have an app of choice active and check it every few days. You never know who's going to come across it. Like, don't close yourself off to opportunities. And that goes the same for, there are so many people who are so reliant on the apps that they see somebody who they think is cute across the bar and they're like, oh, like, hopefully I'll see them on Hinge tonight or tomorrow. Like, they're right there. They're literally right there. Go talk to them. So it works both ways. Don't be too reliant and don't completely write them off. When it comes to meeting people in person, I think a big part of it is just being open to that and letting other people know that you're open to that. Tell friends, family members, coworkers, if you have that type of co-working relationship where you feel comfortable talking about your dating life. Hey, you know, like, I'm really not into the dating apps these days, but I do really want to meet somebody. You know, here's a few things that I'm looking for. Here are a few pictures of me and a little description. If you just, like, want to send it out, I'll make it easy for you. But if you have anyone in mind that would be looking for a setup or you think I could be a match with, I'd love to meet them. Put that out there. We think that everybody is thinking of us at all times, and they're not. They're just not. So reminding the people in your life, like, hey, I'm here, I'm single, and I'm actively looking to meet people. And maybe they don't have anybody in their mind right now, but they might go to a dinner with a bunch of people next week and learn that one of those people is single, or that one of those people is really trying to set their friend up. And they'll say, oh, I have a friend, let's set them up. Boom. Events. Go to events. Go to singles events. Don't be afraid to go to speed dating. If you don't know how to find them, look them up. You can type speed dating events in February in Chicago, like singles events in New York City this month. There are so many, but they're not necessarily going to come to you. It's like the perfect person's not going to show up and knock on your door. It's the same thing. Like, you have to go seek these things out. And if you feel weird about going to a single specific type of event, just find any event, if anything that you're interested in. I saw on Instagram, I live on the Upper East Side of Manhattan, and I follow these like Upper East Side local accounts. And one of them posted yesterday that this company is doing pickleball on the Upper East Side indoors every weekend for the next few months. And I sent it to my friend who's single, and I'm like, let's go. We'll either have a good time. Maybe we'll find somebody to meet, or maybe we'll even like meet other girlfriends who have guy friends that she could meet.
It's all about, I think, just putting yourself out there and setting the intention of like, okay, I'm ready to meet someone. And I find that when you put that out there, it comes back to you, versus if it's all inside your head and you're keeping it in, like, what do you think is going to happen? Like you said, no one's going to show up at your door.
No, exactly. And like, I think the same goes for if you have weddings coming up or like a good friend's birthday and they're inviting 100 people, ask them, like, in a moment where they're not stressed with planning, ask, like, are there any single guys? Are there any single girls that you think I should meet while I'm there? You know, like, they might not be thinking about it because when they're planning a wedding or a party, there are 1,000 other things they're thinking about. Right. But their partner might have single friends that you haven't met that they'd love to set you up with. They just haven't had the time to think about it. So ask.
Yeah. Ask and you shall receive. Is the takeaway there. And you're planning a wedding right now. And you, how long have you been with your fiance?
We are about to celebrate our third anniversary in like a week.
Oh my gosh. Congratulations.
Thank you.
I know you mentioned like before you were in sort of a more toxic relationship situationship. So before we talk about healthy relationships and what to kind of do when you're in a relationship, I'd love to hear more about your experience with that and kind of what you took away from that relationship.
I was dating somebody it was about like an 8, 9, 10 month thing. I don't really know. I've blacked a lot of it out, but it was somebody that I worked very closely with, and he wanted to keep it a secret from this other person that we were working very closely with, who happened to also be his best friend. And so we were spending like 4, 5, sometimes 6 nights a week together. And it was a secret. We would have situations where sometimes, and we like argued about the secret thing for a while. And like, he was like, I can't call you my girlfriend because like, I can't have a girlfriend with that he doesn't know about. Like, that doesn't make sense. And that was really painful for me to be like, well, you spend all your time with me. You spend any moment that you're not with me talking to me. You treat me like I'm your girlfriend. We do all these things together, but I'm not your, like, why am I not good enough to actually be your girlfriend? I flew halfway across the country to spend a week with his family over the holidays, but I wasn't his girlfriend.
Oh my God.
It was really painful. There would be nights where we had plans and I went to his apartment, but the other one was there and overstayed how long he was planning to be there. And it would be winter and I'd have to like walk in circles around the block for hours waiting for the other one to leave.
Oh.
And it was horrible. There was one day where the guy left something in his apartment and went back to get it, and I had to like hide in the laundry room. So.
Wow. That's like out of a TV show. Yeah.
Yeah. Learned a lot from this.
I bet.
Things were all said and done. And first and foremost, if somebody doesn't want to tell their friends about you, or if somebody says, I really like you and I will continue doing this, but we're not going to be in a relationship, leave.
It's
like,
done.
You stop. You deserve so much more. I don't care how cute this person is. I don't care how deep your connection is. I don't care how good things are when they're good. You deserve more. That is not fair to you. I don't care who you are. You deserve more. That's first and foremost. I also learned that I am strong enough to walk away from something when, like, I was so depressed. I was not okay. And I had friends who, all of my friends came to me. And at first it went from like, Alana, we've never seen you this happy, to maybe like 3 months later, Alana, we've never seen you this sad. We're really concerned.
Wow.
And I didn't want to hear it. I was like, I would make up every excuse in the book. I'm like, well, you guys don't see what it's like when it's just the two of us together. Because they would see us in group settings where like, we can act like we're together,
yeah,
in front of the other one. And it was just really the most painful thing I had ever gone through. And it ended so terribly. I was like literally about to move across the country with both of them for work. And it ended really horribly. I ended up like so depressed. I had never had an ounce of depression or anxiety before this experience. I was a shell of myself after. I would go to work and my boss would send me home because I couldn't stop crying. I started going to therapy multiple times a week. And it took a really long time for me to be okay. And in part of that process, I learned that he was sleeping with other people the entire time because he had to keep up the facade that he wasn't dating me.
Oh my God.
And then I experienced quite literally the definition of gaslighting, where he told the other one what happened because he was afraid that I would tell him what happened. So he like threatened me and he was like, yeah, I'm going to tell him. So you can't. And the other one was like, Lana, like, let's go for a walk. Like, let's sit down and talk about this. And he was like, let's call him. Let's call the guy I was dating, not dating, Eric. He was like, yeah, like, Eric told me everything. Like, you don't have to keep it a secret anymore. It's okay. And I'm like, did he really? And he's like, yeah, like, he told me you guys kissed once. Like, it's okay. I'm not mad. I'm like, what?
Kissed once?
Like, whoa. I've never been more shocked in my entire life. And I'm like, whoa, wait. What do you mean? He's like, yeah, like, it's okay. You don't have to like lie about things anymore. Like, I know what happened. Like, I know you really like him. I'm like, ask my roommates who haven't seen me the last 5 months because I sleep home maybe twice a week, maybe once a week.
That is wild.
Like, what? And he was like, Lana, like, you don't have to lie anymore. Like, and I literally didn't know which way was up.
I'm sorry. What? What in the world?
It was the craziest thing I've ever experienced. And I had feelings sometimes. Like, there were times where I wouldn't hear from him on a Thursday or Friday night for a while. And I had this, like, gut feeling, like, is he out with other girls? Like, where is he? Yeah. Because he otherwise would tell me what he was doing. And he was being secretive. And there were times where I would go sleep over at his apartment and I would see a hair on his pillow. And I'd literally, like, hold it up to my hair and be like, is this my hair? I don't know. But anytime I asked him about it, he made me feel like I was crazy. And I literally started to feel crazy. And then I started to act crazy. And I really didn't recognize myself at the end of this. So that happened.
Wow. Well, that is, I was going to ask the question, like, how do you not lose yourself in a relationship? And I think that's a good place to start of like how to lose yourself in a relationship. And I'm just so sorry that that happened. That is horrible, and no one deserves to go through that. But I can tell from your current relationship that that is not the case at all.
Not at all.
So how did you go from that, I guess, to what you have now with your fiance?
I really messed me up when it came to dating for a few. I don't think I met Jake until like 3 years later, and dating was really hard for me. Yeah. It was. First of all, it took like a very long time for me to like move forward and be okay after this and to believe that I was actually somebody who could be loved and could be treated right. I continued to kind of repeat that cycle and date people who liked me and wanted to spend time with me but weren't looking for a relationship. And that just kept reaffirming that I wasn't good enough to actually be somebody's girlfriend. And I think what happened was I was so anxious. Like, anytime I wouldn't hear from somebody on a Thursday, Friday, Saturday night, I would completely spiral and just jump to conclusions. And I had to unlearn a lot of things. I had to kind of rewire my brain to say, like, okay, maybe this new person, like, I don't know them, but they're not Eric. So I can't just assume that they're going to do the same exact things that Eric did. I can keep my guard up, but I can't punish them because of what someone from my past did. I have to give them a clean slate. And once they give me any reason to not trust them, then I can go down that path of, okay, maybe this isn't the right situation for me. But I really learned that just communication is everything. Like, open communication, sharing where you're at, like people are so afraid to open up about their past traumas, their past relationship experiences, their past dating situations. But I think it's the most important thing you can do in your first few dates with somebody, because you need to know, first of all, it gives you like the biggest insight into where they're at and what they're looking for. And sharing also allows them to learn things about you and learn if they can show up for you in the way you need. And if they can't, that's okay. And when it came to meeting Jake, if I didn't hear from somebody after the date for even like a few hours, I would be like, okay, they hate me. They're never going to want to see me again. Or they're immediately on to somebody else. Like, this isn't going to work. Jake told me right after our first date that he had a great time and wanted to see me again. And I didn't even have the chance to be anxious and wonder. Mm-hmm. After our second date, I was nervous because I was going away for 2 weeks. He texted me right after saying, I know you're gone, but I'd love to talk while you're gone and see you when you're back. And that just allowed me to completely trust him and to feel comfortable and to not question where he was or what he was doing, and to like allow myself to connect with him and fall for him. And communication is the number one thing you can do. People are so afraid to do it. People think, oh, I don't want to say too much or say the wrong thing or show my cards too soon. Like, you gotta show who you are and learn who they are in order to build a strong foundation. You just have to.
And it's important when you're in the relationship too, like years in, it doesn't become any less important to communicate. If anything, it's more because there's more things that you guys have together. You might be living together. You might be, you know, you share friends, you share all these things when you are in each other's lives for so long. It becomes that much harder to make sure that you're on the same page. So you have to communicate these things to one another, as hard as it may be. And of course, it gets easier with time, or at least I think it should. But sometimes, like, the hard conversations still have to happen. And it doesn't go away with time.
No. And with practice, like, it takes time to learn how to properly communicate with somebody and to learn.
100%.
You know, some people, if there's something going on, like some sort of fight or disagreement, some people want to sleep on it and like not approach it in this moment. They want time to digest and to kind of let their blood pressure lower. Other people want to talk about it right now and hash it out in that moment. You have to learn what works for you and what works for your partner and where you guys might need to compromise, and that's okay. And yeah, over time, the more you practice that, it gets easier, which is important because life gets harder.
Yeah. The older we get, the more responsibility, like it's only going to get harder. It's that much more important. I completely agree. And you kind of mentioned like with arguments and learning how to fight in a healthy way. First of all, if anyone says they don't get into arguments with their partner, they're lying. They can be in the best relationship ever. Something's wrong if you're not having like healthy disagreements, we can call them. Do you have any other tips aside from learning how the other person has their argument style? Like, do you have any other tips for disagreeing in a way that's healthy and productive?
Yeah, I think two really important things. The first of which is recognizing that it's okay. Like you just said, like, it's okay to fight. It's okay to argue. It's okay to disagree. You're two people from two completely different worlds who have 20, 30, 40, 50 years of life history before meeting each other. And coming together and joining lives and creating a life together is really difficult. And so if you do argue, if you do fight, that doesn't mean that there's something wrong in your relationship. So recognizing that and accepting that. I think the biggest thing of all is realizing it's not you versus your partner. When there's a disagreement, when there's an argument, when there's a fight, it's not you versus your partner. It's the two of you versus the problem. You are partners. You have to work through this thing together, no matter what it is. And so realizing like, okay, let's take a step back. Like, let's pause for a minute. Let's take a step back. What is the real problem here? Is it that you don't like this thing that I did or said? Or is it that like we think we could actually approach this in a different way? How can we approach this together? How can we work through this together? Because that's the only way you're actually going to have a lasting relationship, is if you look at problems from that lens.
That's the best advice, I think. A lot of times it can be like, okay, we're against each other. Our egos are getting in the way. But when you kind of just like let that guard down and realize you're on the same team, I think it just takes away a lot of the tension in and of itself. Like you don't even have to address the problem. But yeah. That mindset shift is so important.
Exactly. And listen more than you talk. Like really yeah. try and see the other person's perspective and where they're coming from. Like we are by nature like selfish and stubborn creatures, and that's okay. But you have to try to put yourself in their shoes in order to understand to the best of your ability.
100%. And when you're in a relationship, I also wanted to talk about, you know, finding the balance of that relationship and being in it and nurturing it, but also nurturing your other relationships and your friendships and family. Like we said, the responsibilities pile up as we get older. There's so many things to consider. And I think the worst thing you could do is make your relationship your entire life. So how Been can we there. Not do that? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I love like my history because as much as it sucked, as much as like I felt like I was going to die from how much pain I was in, I learned so much, and I was for a while the poster child of what not to do when dating. So I definitely learned that the hard way. Yeah. When you get into a relationship, I get it. It is so exciting. You have wanted this for so long. You found this person who understands you, who you feel like you've known forever, and all you want to do is spend all of your time with them, and that's great. But they like you for who you are today. That's not to say that that's not going to change, because we're all going to change and grow over time. But they like you because of the world that you've built for yourself and the passions you have and the hobbies you do and the group fitness classes that you love and the fact that you love to read or paint and the friends that you have that light you up and put you in a good mood and give you funny stories to share and how close you are with your family and how you and your sister take a trip together every year. These are the reasons that this person was drawn to you. And yes, it's so exciting and new and fun, and you want to spend every moment of every day with them, but you have to prioritize maintaining your independence and keeping those friendships, those relationships, those passions, those hobbies. That's not to say you can't come up with new activities and, you know, spend time with their friends and start doing the hobbies that they like, but don't drop everything just to do all the things that they want you to do and spend all of your time with them, because you're going to lose who you are. And there's no guarantee that this relationship works out. And if it doesn't, you still need to have that independence. You still need to know that your friendships are solid, that you have these things that you love outside of this relationship. And that took me a really long time to learn. Like I said, like all of my friends were concerned about me. I pushed them all away, and I didn't want to talk to them anymore because I thought they were trying to like sabotage this thing that I had, which was terrible anyway. But I was so lucky that they stuck around. And when I did need them, like they were unconditionally there for me. But that's not the case all the time. People feel really personally offended when their friends ditch them for someone new that they're dating. And that's understandable.
Yeah. I want to speak on what you said. Your friends were still there for you. And like you need that support system if something does go wrong. It's so important not to let go of the rest, just because if something does happen, like, what are you going to do? You're going to be all alone. You're not going to have anyone's support. I mean, hopefully you'll have family support still, but who knows? A lot of people rely on their friends for these things. And if you push them away, I think that's so awesome. And you're so lucky that your friends were there, but it's not always that way. And I've seen situations where people are just left completely alone. And I get it. It's so hard. I mean, I wanted to ask you about this too. Like when your friend is in a relationship that you are not a fan of, when you're not a fan of the person, or maybe the relationship itself is toxic, what do you do? What is the way to kind of go about that?
You got to be there for them. I mean, it's so hard. And I have a friend going through something like this now where she knows that the people closest to her don't think this is a good situation. She knows that we all wish she wasn't in it. It's not our job to make decisions for her. We can't make decisions for her. But what we have done is expressed that we're concerned. And I've literally said, like, listen, I love you and I understand the reasons that you're happy, and because I've been there. And I'm so happy that you've found this connection and that there are so many things that you are happy about. Like I genuinely am, because I want that for you. But I also am concerned, and it's hard for me to sit here and watch the situation where I just don't see a positive outcome. I don't see any world in which this ends any other way than you being completely heartbroken. And that's really hard for me as your best friend to sit here and kind of just watch it happen. And she was like, no, I know. I do agree. Like, I also don't see this ending any other way, but I'm not ready to let go of it. Mm. And I'm like, I understand. And no matter what happens, like, I will be here for you. Like, don't ever feel like you can't come and talk to me about it just because I don't entirely support it. So open communication. That's like the most mature conversation of all time. Like, those conversations don't always go that way, but they can if you come from a place of like, this is what I see. And because I love you, I'm concerned. And here's why. But no matter what, I will be there for you. And reminding them, like, I'm not mad at you. I don't want you to stop talking to me about it. I want to cheer you on. And I want you to be happy. That's all I want for you. And this might not be the path directly to it, but I'm here for the ride. So I think it's just expressing why and what you see, saying you're not there to make their decisions for them, but that you will be there no matter what, yeah, goes a really long way.
Yeah, I'm very impressed with this conversation you had with your friend. I think that is very mature. And like with a romantic relationship, the communication piece, it's just so important. What do you do when all your friends are in a relationship and you're single and all you want is to be in a relationship? I feel like we've all been there at one point or another. When I was in college, early in college, it just so happened that all of my girlfriends were in a relationship. And it's funny because now most of them aren't and I am. But it feels so isolating at times. And I guess I'm trying to ask, it's like, in that situation, what would I have wanted to hear? What would I have done? Because I did not feel good about myself.
Listen, first of all, the unfortunate truth, because we want all of our friends to be happy, but especially the younger you are, the more likely it is that those relationships are not going to last. And those people will be back in that situation. I remember the freshman year of real life. So after graduating college, one of my best friends, all of her friends from her sorority, who she was like best friends with, they were all, like, four of them were in relationships and she was the only single one. And they would literally say to her, like, you're missing out on like we wish we could like go on double dates and like group dates with everyone and like you find somebody and like not be single. And she felt so shitty about that. Like she's like, well, yeah, I want to find someone too, but I don't have someone. And that really sucks that I now feel like I'm left out of the group. And then fast forward a year later, she met somebody, she got into a relationship. All four of those relationships broke up. And then those friends were saying, oh, like now we're all like single together and you're missing out on going out and wing womaning each other. And these are the best nights of our lives. And you're not a part of it because you're in this relationship now. Like you can't win.
No,
you literally can't. And so recognizing that like what someone else is doing, yes, it's hard when that's what you want, but it doesn't impact you. Like it really shouldn't. You have to continue living your life and doing the things that make you happy and going after what you want. You're really not missing out on that much. I think it's important to find single friends. Like those people don't have to be your only people. Go make other friends. Okay, Alana, where do we make other friends? Making friends is hard. I don't care what it takes. Download Bumble BFF if you have to. I actually know a lot of people in desperate times who met some incredible people who are like now in their bridal parties 5-10 years later. Whoa. From Bumble BFF, from moments of desperation, because everyone else there is feeling the same way. Go to workout classes, go out with coworkers. You never know. It's the same thing with like where to meet people in real life. Just be open to making new friends, or even ask, like literally ask your friends who are in relationships. Like, I love you guys. I need some single friends. Do you have any like friends from other worlds who I could have a girl date with? It's not embarrassing. People want you to be happy and to connect you with other people. So just ask.
Yeah. And events, like you said, that's a great place to meet friends too. Not just singles events, but whatever you're interested in. I've met plenty of people through wellness events and things like that that align with my interests, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I think it's important to have friends from both worlds when you're single, having other single friends, but also not letting go of the friends who aren't.
Yes.
Especially because you don't know what will happen in those relationships. But also, it's nice to have people to relate to on where you're at in life.
Yeah. And I think it's important. I see this happen a lot when there's one single friend and everyone else is in a relationship and they feel like they miss their friends. And yeah. I understand that, but your friends might not know that you miss them and they might be caught up in their relationship and they would not be mad if you reached out and said like, hey, I miss our us nights. Can we go get sushi at that place we used to go to and like reminisce one night? I'm sure they'd be so happy. Or just say like, hey, I miss you. Like, I know things have been really busy, but I would love to have a girls' night and just like chill on the couch with wine like we used to. You don't have to be like, I never see you anymore and you're always with them and I'm getting left behind. Just say you miss your friend and I'm sure they miss you too and will make the time for you.
Yeah, I think a lot of what we've talked about in general today comes back to communicating things in a loving way, which is perfect because the name of this podcast is Loving Wellness and is all about approaching wellness, but also relationships, because that's a big part of wellness, in a loving way and just not letting that part of you that just wants to communicate from a place of anger take over and just staying in your loving, keeping your cool. I think you can't really go wrong in any relationship. So I'm so happy that we had this conversation and that you were able to come on. I'm so excited for everyone to hear this. I have a few dating rapid fire questions for you. And then I have rapid fire questions I ask everyone.
Let's do it. Amazing. I'm bad at rapid fire, but I'm going to try.
Some of these could literally be a whole podcast in and of themselves, but
that's my problem.
I just want you to blurt out what first comes to mind. First one is biggest red flag on a date. I'm sure you get this question a lot.
Being rude to wait staff.
Such a turnoff. Or rude to anyone.
Rude to anyone. Like
rude to me. Rude to, no.
Yeah, being rude to anyone, saying something that really rubs you the wrong way or makes you feel uncomfortable.
I completely agree. Biggest green flag on a first date.
They ask you questions about yourself and really get to know you.
Yeah.
And you get to know them.
That reminds me of another red flag is only talking about yourself. Don't do it.
Mm-hmm. No.
Don't do it. And if they do it, run.
This isn't a therapy session.
Exactly. Favorite and least favorite dating app. I know you might be biased, but I thought I'd ask anyway.
I met Jake on Hinge. I used to work at Hinge.
Yeah.
They did lay me off. So people were very surprised that I met Jake on it 2 months after losing my job there.
Oh my gosh.
Least favorite, I never met anyone on Tinder or Bumble, but I have been to weddings in the past year where they met on Tinder or Bumble. So like, who am I to say that that doesn't work? I don't think I can really give a least favorite because I think there's an app for everyone out there and I don't want to like yuck someone's yum or turn someone away. I think Coffee Meets Bagel and OkCupid are really wonderful for like more intentional people who don't just want like swipe culture, swiping through a million people all the time, but who want to really like be more intentional. So I would try those if that's you.
Yeah. I've heard people in New York specifically having success with Thursdays too. I don't know if that's still a thing.
Thursday dating. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I never used it, but I've heard great things.
There's so many out there now.
So many. Oh, no, one more.
Yeah.
Favorite dating app, Foreplay. So fun. Right now it's new. So it's only in New York and Boston and at Penn State, but it is a social app for singles. So it's double dating. You and your best friend make a profile together and you swipe as a team on other teams.
I love that.
And then
that.
You go on a double date. There's two people for you to meet. You can all have fun. It's less pressure. It's safer. It's a great time. Foreplay. Foreplay.
Oh, I love that name. Wait, that's so smart.
So great.
I love that.
Big fan.
The next one is, are long-distance relationships bound to fail?
No. Just takes communication. A lot of communication. But no, I've seen a lot of them succeed.
Yeah, I agree. I was in a long-distance relationship for 2 years before we lived in the same city, and I can attest.
You're living proof.
Yep. You just got to communicate. That's the it's the moral of today's story, of today's podcast episode. Breaks in a relationship, going on a break, is it over or can they be helpful?
9 out of 10 times a break should be a breakup.
Yeah.
I am getting dinner with my friend and her husband tonight, and they did go on a break. So there are exceptions to the rule, but I think they went on a break before they got engaged. But
okay.
I do think for the most part, if you need to take a break, you should probably be breaking up.
Yeah. How fast is moving too fast? Or is there not really a timeline, in your opinion?
I don't think there's a specific timeline, but if it feels too fast for you, then it's too fast.
Great answer. Do you believe in the one?
I don't. I think there are a lot of ones. Like, how could there be the one? Example, I almost moved to LA multiple times throughout my life. If I moved to LA, there would have been no reason for me and Jake to meet when he was here working in a completely different industry, doing completely different things. Like, why would we have met? We wouldn't have. I think there are a lot of ones that you can build a great, lasting, healthy, loving, wonderful relationship with. And I think we like to say, like, the one that got away, or like, right person, wrong time. And that discounts the fact that you can build a relationship with somebody, and you can. And if someone was the one and it doesn't work out, what, do you have to change your whole belief system now? I think that the one is a nice concept, but I think it makes dating so much scarier. What, there's 6 billion, I don't know how many people there are in the world, like 7 billion now?
Yeah, people, no idea.
Like, what if my parents decided to move to another country when I was younger? Like, how would I meet my one from here when I'm there? How? That wouldn't work. I don't believe that when you're born, there is one other soulmate for you and you have to find each other. That's too hard.
I think there's multiple, like you said, and whichever one you end up connecting with, depending on where you're at in life, like, that's great. But it also takes the pressure off. If something doesn't work out, God forbid, there's like a death or a divorce. Yeah. Like, what are you going to do if you think there's just one person out there for you?
That was it. I'm alone forever now. Like, okay, if that's what you want, but I would rather take time, heal, and move forward and find somebody else I could build a loving relationship with.
Exactly. I love that answer. The last one you mentioned in the beginning, you're a Jonas Brothers fan. So that was actually my first concert when I was in middle school. It was a Jonas Brothers concert. God. I have a soft spot in my heart for them. So what is your favorite Jonas Brothers song?
Right now, Love Bug has a very special place in my heart. I think it's like mine and Jake's song. Our first dance will be When You Look Me in the Eyes. But my favorite song is probably, I can't give one, but like, Hold On got me through a lot of tough times. Take a Breath really helped me in some dark days. And Fly With Me is magical.
Oh, I love that that's going to be your first dance. That's so cute. Yeah. How was it meeting them? You met them, right? You interviewed them.
Yes. I met them a bunch of times. Right. I kind of worked with Nick for a bit. And it's really wonderful, like, that they are just like normal guys.
Yeah.
And that's a great thing. I think Kevin is the greatest person I've ever met in my life. He is so wonderful. They're just people.
Yeah.
They're just really talented people who are really, really kind and welcoming and warm. And it's, but it was great. It was surreal. I can't listen back to that episode of me interviewing them because I'm like, how is this me? It's like an out of body experience that I'm afraid to relive. Like, I tried recently and I couldn't do it.
So you've never listened back?
Never successfully, no.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny.
Yeah.
Okay, so these are the rapid fire questions I ask everyone. And the first one is, what is your favorite fruit?
Strawberries.
Love. What is your sun sign in astrology? Or like, what's your astrology sign? The main one.
I'm a Leo.
Okay, me too. When's your birthday?
August 16th.
That's my birthday.
No way.
That's so funny.
Are we twins? Is your mother my father?
That's so funny.
Wait, that's crazy.
Oh my God.
Wow. Our birthday's coming off.
I know. And it was the Leo full moon, I'm pretty sure, like last night or two nights ago. So.
Wait, oh my God. You must know so much more about me than I know about myself.
Astrology. I'm not like as into it as you would think for this being one of my rapid fire questions, but I do love it. And true Leo fashion, I know way more about my own sign than like anyone else's because we're obsessed with ourselves. But
yeah. I have two podcasts. Like, who do I think I am?
I love that. Oh my God, that's so funny. That's never happened. Yeah. What's one book that changed your life that you'd recommend to everyone?
November 9. It didn't change my life, but it was like my favorite book.
I've never heard of it. Is that a nonfiction or a fiction book?
It's like a rom-com-y.
Oh, okay, cute.
Like, yeah. I don't really have like a book that changed my life. I don't read as much as I'd like to. And when I do read, it's like for an escape.
Right.
So
I love that.
I'm going to go with November 9.
I need to get into fiction. I like only read nonfiction and I fall asleep every time.
Exactly. If I'm reading, I need to like be zooming through it and obsessed with it. Otherwise I can't do it and I'll fall asleep and then never get through it.
Literally takes me like so long to get through a book. What is one habit or ritual you do every day that's a non-negotiable?
Not every day. I don't think there is a habit or ritual I do every day, but I've learned recently that my non-negotiables is like going to a workout class, not for the sake of working out, but for the sake of having 45 minutes off my phone.
Ooh, I love that.
And I used to like be the person who would sneak my phone into class and like check it in between everything. And now I'm like, locker immediately, don't want it. And then I'm like afraid to look at it after. I don't want it.
The last question is, this podcast is called Loving Wellness. So what does loving wellness mean to you?
To me, loving wellness is actually taking the time to prioritize yourself in whatever way that means for you. And that's really hard to do. It takes a lot of intention. It takes time. It takes effort. It takes holding yourself accountable. My favorite thing to do is take my dog to the dog park. Aww. I can't really do that when it's really cold out. So I've been trying to find other ways to have that break in my mind and time with him. There have been phases where I'm obsessed with coloring and like that's my wellness. Like that's my favorite wellness activity is coloring an adult coloring book because it just turns my brain off. Some people will do yoga or meditate. It's like whatever works for you, but I think it's really important to find that thing that works and hold yourself accountable to doing it.
Totally. And it kind of comes back to our conversation in the beginning on dating and finding the dating quote unquote rules that work for you and the way that you date and showing up as your authentic self. It's the same thing with your own relationship with yourself, with wellness, and
exactly
all of it. So thank you so much for being on, Ilana. This was so lovely. Where can everyone find you and listen to your podcast?
Thank you so much for having me. This literally flew by. I don't know how.
I know.
like what? I'm so confused. I think the clock went faster than it's supposed to. You can find Seeing Other People, my dating and relationships podcast, wherever you listen to podcasts. You can follow along on Instagram. You can find my podcast, Life in Progress, that I co-host with my best friend, Carly Silverman, at It's Life in Progress on TikTok and Instagram, and Life in Progress, wherever you listen to podcasts. And I'm Ilana Dunn.
Amazing. Thank you guys for listening.
Thank you.